Grace and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The word of God that we consider this morning is our gospel lesson today, recorded in Luke chapter 9. Allow me to read again just a portion of that lesson. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." This is God's word. Is it really worth it? As you listen to the word of God in our scripture lessons this morning, did that thought come into your mind at all? Is it worth it? There was Joseph, who didn't even deserve to be a slave at all. And yet there he was in the house of Potiphar, faithfully serving his master. He was one of the most trustworthy servants you could ever find, dutifully serving day after day. And even when his master's wife was willing to be unfaithful to her husband, Joseph refused to be unfaithful, not only to his master, but also to the Lord. And yet he was thrown into prison for it. And then you had Moses. Moses, who grew up in the courts of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and he had an opportunity to live as an Egyptian, to have all of the wealth and blessings, outward glorified things of Egypt, continuing to live as an Egyptian, but instead, he chose to be identified with the Israelites, his own people. He chose to be identified with those people who followed the Lord. And for that he was mistreated and he was disgraced. And then Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Is it really worth it? Is the prize worth the pain? And does it have to be that way? Is there a way that we can just skip the cross and go right to Easter morning? Is there a way to bypass the pain to get to the prize? Can we have the crown of heaven without the cross? If anyone should have been asking these questions, it was Jesus himself. The miracles he did and the things that he said gave clear testimony as to who he was. He was the Son of God who had come down and lived in human flesh. And the life that he lived was flawless. He always showed perfect love and trust in his heavenly Father. He always showed perfect love for his fellow man. There was no one else who ever lived the kind of life that Jesus lived. And the people noticed. When Jesus asked his disciples about the popular opinion about who he was, they gave answers that showed that they realized that Jesus was someone special. Some said that he was John the Baptist. Others said he was Elijah. Still others, they said, "Well, he's one of those prophets from long ago that's come back from the dead. This is no ordinary man." And as flattering and highly as those titles for Jesus showed that they thought of him, they still fell far short of who he actually was. Peter hit the nail on the head when Jesus pointedly asked his disciples, "What about you? Who do you say I am?"
Peter said, the Christ of God. Jesus was the Christ of God, the anointed one, promised for centuries, the one whom God had sent into the world with a special task, who had set apart to be the Savior, not only of Israel, but the Savior of the entire world. Jesus had come to do that work. But perhaps his disciples didn't really understand all of that meant. And so he explained it to them. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. In the end, Jesus would be glorified. He would be raised from the dead. But first, he must suffer. First, he must be rejected by his own people, the very people that he came to save. First, he must be killed. Why? Why did it have to be this way? It's because our God is a just and holy God. God gave his law and he expressed his clear expectation that anyone who breaks even one part of that law is worthy of punishment by eternal death. Because you and I and all of the rest of mankind have failed to live up to the perfect standard of God's law, God's justice requires that we be punished. But that's where Jesus comes in. In addition to being a just and holy God, God is also a gracious and loving God. He wants all people to be with him and to enjoy his blessings forever. But for that to happen, someone had to be punished for our sins. And that someone could have no sins of his own that needed to be punished. And the only one who could live up to that holy standard was the Son of God himself. And so, compelled by his love for us, Jesus, God's own Son, chose to come into our world, to live the perfect life that God expects of us, and then to suffer many things and be rejected and be killed in our place. It's so important that we see the cross that comes with our confession. When we confess Jesus to be the Christ, we confess him to be the one whose cross paid for every one of our sins, whose death took our place under God's wrath, and whose resurrection from the dead gives us the confidence that our sins are forgiven and that they can't condemn us any longer. A Christ without a cross cannot save a single soul. A Christ without a cross leaves us worthy of death. A Christ without a cross offers us no hope for anything beyond life in this world. But we don't confess a Christ without a cross. We confess Christ crucified as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. We confess Christ crucified for our sins. A confession that fills us with joy and hope and peace. But that confession doesn't mean that life in this sinful world is ever going to be easy, is ever going to simply be happiness. Instead, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
To deny myself is to do the exact opposite of what my sinful nature wants to do. That evil enemy in my heart wants to do nothing but serve myself. It wants to put me first and do what's best for me and leave everybody else for some other time. But Jesus says, as my follower, you don't have to do that. I denied myself to come and be your Savior. I put my Father's will first, and I served you in my life and my death. So that the greatest thing you need, the greatest thing you could ever need, is already yours. You are a forgiven child of God. You are an heir of eternal life with God in heaven. I've given you all of that, and if I've given that to you, you can be sure that I will be there to meet every other need you face in your life. And so because I love you perfectly, you don't have to love yourself first or best. Instead, you can follow my command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. As we deny ourselves, Jesus also wants us to take up our cross daily to follow him. The cross that we carry as Christians is everything that we endure because of our faithfulness to Christ and his word. It's the silence we endure when our prayers seem to go unanswered because God has a better solution in mind. It's the opportunities that we miss out on in this world because we put God first in our lives. It's the way that our conscience won't leave us alone until we find the healing salve of Jesus' blood shed for us on his cross. The cross is the rejection that we endure and the ridicule that we face for believing and confessing that God's word is changeless truth in a world that is constantly reshaping truth to fit its own desires. It's the broken relationships and the divided families that result when even those we love deny some or all of what God's word says. And the cross that we bear is the way that our hearts ache for all who live without Christ. We may find ourselves bearing that cross in many ways these days, in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision that two people of the same gender can no longer be prohibited from marrying one another. God's definition of marriage hasn't changed, has it? It's still a lifelong union between one man and one woman. No human law is ever going to change that. And God's word is still clear. Homosexuality, just like heterosexual lust, just like marital unfaithfulness, just like every other sin against God's gift of marriage, is just that. It's a sin. For us to even say something like that, though, may bring upon us the cross of being labeled as unloving, hateful, bigoted, maybe even unchristian. And the truth is, if we fail to speak also of God's forgiveness, even of all of those sins, maybe we are worthy of such labels. But we also bear other crosses these days. We may bear the cross of tensions and disagreements with family or friends over this issue. Christians who themselves struggle with same-sex attraction, they may bear the cross of even greater pressure these days to act on those urges.
We all bear the cross of hearts that ache for a world and no doubt for people that we know who increasingly deny God's truth. We all bear the cross of holding to the unchanging truth and lovingly and clearly confessing that truth in a world in which the pressure to deny it will likely just continue to build. We who follow Christ must take up our crosses to do so. And the strength to stand under those crosses comes only from him who first carried his cross to Calvary to die for us and for every sinner. The weight of his cross was greater than you or I could ever imagine, for it was the weight of our sins, the weight of the guilt of the world. And every time we put ourselves first instead of denying ourselves, the weight of Christ's cross gets a little heavier. And every time we choose to drop our crosses and go our own way instead of carrying our crosses and following him, the weight of his cross gets a little heavier. But he bore that weight willingly. He lifted its burden off of you and me and was crushed under its heavy load so that we are free from guilt and free to live forever with him who rose from the dead after he atoned for each and every one of our sins. For many of us, that question of who Jesus is may never be a real question that we struggle with in our minds. Because the Holy Spirit has worked through his word in our hearts, we confess clearly, we confess consistently and confidently, Jesus, you are the Christ of God. May God grant that we always make that confession, remembering the cross that comes with it. The cross of Christ, through which he overcame sin and death for us. And the crosses that we bear with the strength that he provides as we follow him through this life and into the glorious riches of eternal life. God be with us as we bear those crosses for his sake. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God transcends all human understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.